Romans chapter 5. We need to get into this, and I need to set up some context for you, but I won't take very long. So sometimes when I'm trying to give you context, I think it's actually better for me sort of to read a little prepared statement rather than get into re-preaching sermons that I've preached for the last 3 weeks. So I'm going to read the summary, but I'll kind of read it slowly. And I know it's hard to listen for some reason, and it's hard to, like, hear. Your eardrums are going to waggle, and there's going to be some input. But will your brain decode it? That is the question. So let your brain decode this as I remind you what we've seen here in Romans chapter 5 so far. What we've seen is that sin came into the world through Adam. And death came into the world through sin. And death reigned over all men. In contrast to that, in Romans chapter 5, Paul also presents Jesus Christ as like the second Adam. And we see that grace came into the world through Jesus Christ. And the gift of righteousness came through grace. And those who receive grace and righteousness reign in life. So death is defeated because of what Jesus Christ has done. Through Adam, we became sinners. Through Christ, we become righteous. That's the summary of chapter 5. And today, we want to look at these last two verses. And what we've been talking about when we think of Adam and when we think of Christ, what then is the place of the law? We had Adam as the first man. He was way before the law. If you back up to chapter 4, we had Abraham, who was justified by faith, and he was before the law, 400 years before the law. So what then is the role of the law in this long history of sin and death reigning through Adam? And we imagine, we can see with the world becoming progressively more evil, that God's giving the law on Sinai is kind of like the law riding to the rescue to show the people how to live a righteous life. We think that the law came to rescue humanity from the clutches of sin and show them the way to live righteously. And if all this sounds right, then I want to prepare you to be shocked. If all of that just, that makes sense. That progression is right. Paul is about to turn your understanding of the law completely on its head. And so I'm going to try to be gentle. But some of you are going to walk out of here devastated by this truth. And I just want to encourage you, try not to freak out. Keep reading your Bible. Because a lot of you are going to... Not a lot of you. There'll be some of you who hit that door maybe before I'm through. And you're going to think I'm a heretic. But I'm just going to read the Bible to you mostly this morning. I'm going to just break this thing down. We'll look at it word by word. And it is mind-blowing. What I'm asking you to do is give the Bible a chance to change your preconceived ideas. Give God a chance to speak truth to you this morning. Before I read Romans 5:21, I want to back you up to Romans chapter 3. We get a hint of Romans chapter 5, 20 and 21 in Romans chapter 3. So just turn back, just so you know that this interpretation and these words fit with Paul's argument. They're not some isolated, complex thing that we're about to misunderstand this morning. Look at 3:20. for a preview. Therefore, will no one be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law? Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. This text is going to say negatively what our text is going to speak positively of in just a moment. Whatever the goals of the law might accomplish, listen to this, obtaining righteousness is not one of them. By observing the law, no one will be declared righteous. What it can it do? It, according to 3:20, it can make you aware of sin, but it can empower you to obey. So now back to 5, and here's our text for this morning. Again, I guarantee you, you hear a lot of sermons preached on this. And the bulk of the sermon time is going to be spent teaching you this, that this text doesn't mean what it says. And I'm not doing that with you. I'm going to teach you that it does mean what it says. So look at it. The law was added so that trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We start off with this. I'm reading out of the NIV. Some of you will have a slightly different translation. This says the law was added. This word translated added as parapiskamai. It has to do. It has to do with entering in to something. To a place. Now, it's used two other times in the New Testament, at least two. And these two examples will help you get an idea of the way this word is normally translated. In Galatians 2, verse 4, it refers to the Judaizers, and it says, who slipped in to our group in order to spy on our freedom. Remember in Galatians where Paul talks about the people who came in to spy out their freedom. They slipped in. It's almost like snuck in. And I know that's just a strange idea. Listen to how it's used in Jude 4. Almost the exact same context as Galatians. Jude talks about the false teachers and the judgment that's hanging over their head. But he uses this same verb. He says, for some people have slipped in unnoticed. And I know that is a bizarre way for us to think about the law. That it slipped in unnoticed, because it was actually a fairly big deal when the law came. Am I right? I mean, thunder and lightning and clouds of smoke. And so you think, well, Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, let's just back up and remind ourselves. We believe the whole Bible's inspired. This isn't more inspired than Exodus, and Exodus isn't more inspired than Romans. They're all Word of God. And so I think it's important to listen to this, how I said, law was added. The law was added. That is a passive construction that could easily be read, the law was added by, fill in the blank, by God, right? That's the way that. So, and when we read it in the NIV, we read this passive construction and we assume the law was added by God so that trespass might increase. But actually, it's not a passive construction at all. Anybody here has an ESV? It simply says that the law came. It's active voice, it's aorist tense, and so what's actually going on here is Paul has done this over and over in our text. He's personified sin, he's personified death as these ruling powers, and now he's doing the same thing with the law. It's active voice, law, personified, came. That's the way Paul is setting up the argument. In a way, he's kind of leaving God out of it for now. Paul, more than anyone, knows that God gave the law. The man's a Pharisee. But in his argument that he's making here, he's personifying law, and he says that law came. The law slipped in. And this is a shocking way to talk about the law. But that's just the beginning, because what he says next is even more shocking. Why did law come? Why did law slip in? So that trespass might increase. This word increase, we're going to see it again with a prefix in a little bit. But it's parasuo. It means to really, really increase. So law came to increase sin. And there's a lot of ways that people interpret this, that they increase awareness of sin. I actually don't want to try to adjudicate that, because I don't know exactly what it means. But I know what it says, that sin increased. And so now let's think about this in light of this whole argument, what he's been doing with sin and death. He's been treating them as hostile powers, not just as experiential events. We sin and then we die. No, he's talking about sin as ruling power and death as ruling power all through chapter 5. And I think he means the same thing when he comes here to verse 20. No reason to think that he doesn't. So we read it as the law came and so there was actually more sin. No, what we need to let him argue the same way he's been arguing. And so the law came so that sin, as a ruling power, might solidify its hold over humanity. That sin might increase. The law came. So, see, the law did not infiltrate to reduce sin. The law, to minimize the power of sin, the law came to increase it. The law did not slip in to restrain sin. The law came to empower it. And I know that all of you are thinking I'm crazy. So let's read the text again. The law was added so that trespasses might increase. The law came so that trespasses might increase. I'm not making this up. I'm just explaining it to you. And then the text goes on. It says, but where sin increased. So what was the result? It came to empower sin. So what was the result? It was successful. Where sin increased. See, this is what the law came for. And that is what accomplished. The law came and the power of sin did in fact increase. And so this is important. If you think the law can save you from the power of sin, you need to understand what the law is trying to accomplish. The law is not trying to restrain the power of sin. The law's purpose is to increase the power of sin. The law came to increase the tyrannical rule and reign of sin. And I told you he was about to flip your understanding of law on its head. And he does. Now, he doesn't attribute any motives to God in this passage. And so, if you want to start making the sort of philosophical, theological leaps to decide and adjudicate and figure all this out, have at it. But I just don't bother myself really with those kind of complexities. They're not obvious from the text. I can't figure all of that out. What I do know is what the Bible says so plainly here is that that law, personified law, came to increase personified sin. The power of law came to increase the power of sin. It's like law itself is acting. He doesn't say it's no passive voice. It's active voice. Paul's not trying to defend God or blame God. He's just saying this is the way it is. And then I love, you know, in the midst of all of this bad news with law coming in and increasing the power of sin successfully, there's some incredibly good news. And where law slips in to enthrone sin, where the dominion of sin grows stronger and stronger, it is precisely here that the Bible says grace increased all the more. The power of grace, the rule and reign of grace, increases more than the power and the rule and the reign of sin. This word increased all the more. It's not two words. It's one word. It's huperperisuo. And we get our word hyper from that. Are there still any hypermarts left? I don't know if you've ever been to a hypermart, but when I went to my first one, man, that blew me away. And it was like hyper in there. I mean, you were getting a haircut and your clothes tailored and buying your groceries and everything all in one spot. Your car could be getting the oil changed. It was just incredible. Well, hyper just has that notion about it. It's big and it's growing and it's active. And that's what the text says about grace. Where sin increases, grace hyper increases. Where sin abounds, grace super abounds. It's to increase radically, drastically, exponentially. And God's amazing grace is a good thing. It's an incredibly good thing. We know that. But do we know that grace is a power that is hyper abounding? It is. And man, aren't we glad that it is? Because sin is a power that is hyper abounding. See, when you have a powerful evil tyrant who is enslaving his people, you need an outside, benevolent, superior power to come in and dethrone the tyrant. And that's exactly what grace does for us. Look back at the text, verse 21. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also, look at it, grace might what? Reign. Grace might reign. Now, I think to understand this, and I'm actually a little scared to do what I'm about to do. And so, let me say, I want to make it very clear what I am doing. I think that this first little phrase here in verse 21, so just as sin reigned in death, I want you to make sure you understand the pieces of that. Just as sin reigned in death. By reminding you of what we've already learned in chapter 5. And so listen to me read it like this. Because just as sin reigned through the law, remember what has he just told us? Law came to increase sin. So I want you to see the pieces of this. Just as sin reigned through the law in death, and where did all of this come from? Who started all of this nasty process? Adam. Okay, so let me... I'm trying to put this together for you because then you're going to see an exact comparison in the text below. So listen to it again. Just as sin reigned through the law unto death through Adam. Now look at the rest of the verse. So also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life. You see what's happening? You see, so the comparison is sin is contrasted, the reign of sin is contrasted with the rule and reign of grace. Sort of the power of sin. The increasing force of sin is what? What came so that sin might increase? Law came so that sin might increase. And so sin is like a ruling power that reigns through the law. So also, listen to this, grace is a power that rules through righteousness. Sin contrasted with righteousness. And then, what is the result of sin reigning through the law? It's death. But what is the result of grace reigning through righteousness? It's eternal life. How do we get in such a bad mess? We got into such a bad mess because of Adam and his sin. And how do we get out of that bad mess? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a complex truth, but what it does, it challenges our understanding of how we get to where we want to be. I hate to break it to you, but the law didn't come to make you righteous. It just didn't. No one was ever made righteous. And you can say in verse from 3:20, well, that's because, you know, it would have, but no one could obey it. But then we get to 5:20 and we realize, wait a second. Law never had that intention. Law came to support and strengthen sin. And listen, I love you. Our passion to hold on to the law and the commandments. And what does the Scripture tell us that that's accomplishing? Is it producing righteousness? It's empowering sin and producing death. I feel so bad. Like, I need to say, steal this from another preacher, but I don't write the mail. I just deliver it. See, the law did come to strengthen and empower sin. It came that sin may increase. But the power of grace is greater. And what did grace come to do? It came to empower righteousness and produce eternal life. And see, that's what we have to sort of start wrapping our brains around more and more. Is that grace gives and produces righteousness in us, and the result is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So why did the law come? According to Romans... And now listen, all I am trying to get you to do today is understand Romans 5, 20 and 21. Let it say what it says. I expect you to keep reading. This isn't the only verse in the Bible, amen? I expect you to keep reading. I expect you to come to me in a couple of weeks and say, Pastor, look what I found. And show me a verse. And I'll ask you, what's the Lord telling you through that? And so on. We got to keep studying the whole Bible. Somebody say amen. Amen. But we got to understand what our text plainly says when it says it. And then we have to figure out how to put it together with everything. And so why did the law come? The law came to enthrone sin and death. Why did grace come? To depose sin and death and enthrone righteousness and life. I know you know this, but it's hard for us to just embrace the freedom that we're getting from the text. Do you want righteousness? Do you want life? The question is, what path are you going to pursue to get that? And if you pursue law, Even though it makes all the sense in the world, don't you see that it can only result in sin and death? But if you pursue grace, God's just unmerited favor, grace results in righteousness and life. Man, it's so counterintuitive. When the law is enforced, folks, sin reigns. But when grace is enforced, righteousness reigns. Please don't miss the point. If you try to obtain righteousness by obeying the law or any other list of good-sounding commandments, all you are doing is prolonging your slavery to sin and death. There's only one way to obtain righteousness. Positional, practical. There's only one way to obtain righteousness and eternal life. That's through the ever-increasing grace that comes to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is the pathway to righteousness in life. Just to kind of to illustrate, and then I'll close, because it's not that complicated. It's just hard to believe. I've got a such a blessing to be able to know a bunch of young men and counsel them. And unfortunately, sometimes they have girlfriends. I think girlfriends are... No, I shouldn't say that. I actually stopped in time. And if you judge me without knowing what I was going to say, you'll have to deal with God on that. You can think you know, but you might not. I'm sticking with it. And they always... Because the guys that I know, most of them love Jesus. They want to honor Jesus with their body. And they're like, how do I do this? How do I have this ongoing relationship with this girl? How do I stay pure? How do I live righteously? And you know, and they universally struggle and fail to some degree. And then they end up with me going, okay, what do I do? And you know what they want from me every time? They want a list of rules that is going to keep them righteous. And you know what I refuse to give them every time? A list of rules. Even with my own son. But I would rather die than see him. I can't explain what I'm trying to... I couldn't be more passionate about his holiness. I can't be more passionate about my son's holiness than I am. And it is so tempting. I'm like, just leave her house by 10:30. Surely you can hold out till 10:30. Just don't be alone with her. And I start coming up with all of these great sounding rules. And listen, I can't prove this to you today. Just read your Bible. These are basic principles of this world. Commands and laws and rules. But they have one thing in common. They empower and enthrone sin. They do not produce righteousness. There's one ruling power in the universe that produces righteousness, and that is Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the grace that flows from Him. I'm trying to keep you off of a road that leads to sin and death by pointing you to the crazy, wild, untamed, unpredictable grace of God. We know where it's leading. It just drives us crazy trying to figure out how to get in it and stay in it and walk in it. And you know how we do that? We just receive it over and over and over. We just receive Jesus Christ as Lord, His grace, His fullness, and somehow He produces righteousness in us. It's supernatural power. What I'm telling you is the same thing I tell you basically every week. Let's trust Jesus Christ for our righteousness. He's our only hope. He's our only hope in His grace. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your Word. It's sometimes so shockingly clear, and we would do everything we can to spin it in a different direction. Help us not to do that. Help us to read Your Word and believe what You say. Because there's so much power in the truth. And so as we embrace this truth and embrace the promise that You have made to us, that You have imparted Your righteousness to us, that You will produce Your righteousness in us. Lord, help us to trust You and not our own strength, and certainly not a list of rules that we can mine from the Bible or even from people around us. You want us to trust You. And so today, we pledge that we will. Let Your grace hyper abundantly increase, that we may be fully righteous for Your honor and for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Just stand to your feet and thank Jesus for His amazing grace and believe Him even now that He will produce righteousness in you.
I'd encourage you to just take a minute to just listen to the Lord. Maybe ask Him if there's a particular kind of rule or way that you are trusting in to attain righteousness, and just listen to what He has to say to you, and then we'll sing together about the answer. Just give me Jesus.
when I bless you at the end, it's not just kind of like my hope that you'll sort of feel good and God's presence as you walk out the door. It is that, but the words of these blessings come right out of Scripture, and they're doctrinal blessings to help you understand the way the blessing of God flows into your life. So try to hear these words and realize that this is just another way